Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Moscow has launched an intercontinental ballistic missile strike early this morning. This is according to Kyiv. It's the latest escalation after Ukraine fired UK-supplied long-range Storm Shadow missiles at targets within Russia for the very first time yesterday. Let's get more on this now. I'm joined by Ukraine correspondent with BBC News, James Waterhouse. James, thanks for being with us this morning. So these reports are just emerging now from the Ukrainian Air Force. They say Russian forces used this missile in an early morning attack in Dnipro, in the city of Dnipro. Then a source confirmed to the AFP news agency that it was the first such use of the weapon by Moscow since the invasion back in 2022. Russia had promised a palpable response. What do we know this morning?
Well, good morning. I think this is a response within the confines of Russia's continued full-scale invasion of Ukraine. When we're talking about these intercontinental ballistic missiles, they're pretty nasty. They can travel a great distance and they're very difficult for air defences to intercept. Now, they're also capable of carrying nuclear warheads, which I think is a deliberate message that Russia is trying to send here. And you're right, we've had this kind of back and forth, haven't we, where we've had the outgoing Biden administration give the green light for American ATACMS missiles to be launched. That's given political cover for the UK and France to follow suit with their own Storm Shadow models. And Ukraine is carrying out strikes on Russian regions close to the border with Ukraine in an attempt to try and frustrate its invasion in any way. Russia is clearly not happy, but I think we're seeing an escalation, a response within what we have seen so far.
And Kyiv saying in the last little while that the intercontinental missile didn't have nuclear charge. But the point that you're making is they have the capability to carry the nuclear charge. And that's what everyone's concerned about.
Of course. And it's understandable why people are concerned. And it's also right that Russia is taken seriously when Vladimir Putin updates the criteria in which nuclear weapons would be deployed. State TV in Russia has been anything but subtle when trying to remind the world, the West, about its nuclear capability. And the reason for that is because the West, broadly speaking, politically, has been just so nervous about this kind of confrontation where Russia's invasion of Ukraine could turn into a nuclear confrontation or even a third world war. And that's certainly the view held by some in the American Republican Party. So there is a geopolitical purpose to what we are seeing and hearing from Russia. But when you're in Ukraine, it's really frustrating because the argument there is that the escalation so feared hasn't materialized yet. And there is a view among experts that if it was to escalate, it could come in other forms, not a nuclear strike, but a cyber attack, for example, on the West or an act of sabotage. But what the result of this threat, of these threats is for Ukraine, is the delay, the slowing of Western help, which has directly hindered its ability to defend itself.
Mm-hmm. But they did get the UK-supplied Storm Shadow missiles, didn't they, which they fired into Russia, we believe, yesterday, targeting North Korean and Russian personnel. Russia then said that it had shot down those missiles.
Yes, and you'll often hear this from the Russian Defence Ministry, and it works both ways. Ukraine makes similar claims that most of the missiles launched by one side are reportedly intercepted. But I think when you look at the broader picture, it's clear that Ukraine has been successful over the past couple of days in targeting, for example, a weapons depot in Russia's Bryansk region. And we know that tens of thousands of Russian troops with some North Koreans have been gathering in its Kursk region close to Ukraine. And these Storm Shadow missiles, they've been used extremely effectively by Ukraine throughout this invasion, notably on targets in occupied Crimea. I remember the naval base being hit there. They are incredibly accurate cruise missiles. But the reason that they haven't been used so much is back to political delays, disagreements and lowering stockpiles and Europe and the West wondering how it's going to replace stockpiles. But Ukraine is always eager to get their hands on them because when you're trying to wage a war, if your supply lines are taken out, if your ammunition depots are hit, if soldiers are hit, that directly impacts your ability to fight. But for Ukraine, I think it's too late. I think it is now simply about hanging in to try and keep its at the most advantageous position possible for a hypothetical peace talk.
Right. That is, you believe, accepted. If not explicitly, you think that is generally accepted in Ukraine, that that's where this is headed.
I think if you look at what President Zelensky says, you know, he said under incoming President Trump, this war is now going to end faster. I think if you look at the realities he is facing, where even with a controversial mobilization law, he has around two thirds of the troops he would like to be fighting on the front line. Even if Donald Trump was to say, right, we'll keep this level of American help going, it might not be enough for Ukraine, because what Russia has been able to do in this war of confrontation is make its size count. And there really is a feared domino effect in eastern Ukraine, certainly, where because Russia is able to launch wave after wave of these attacks involving small units of soldiers every 20 minutes or so in some places, eventually, when you're overstretched and exhausted, some of them get through, they continue to chew away at Ukrainian territory, and there are several cities which could fall, which could really change the makeup of Ukraine if it was to fall and then the conflict were to be frozen. If we're talking about liberation and forcing Russia out completely, I think that is far less likely in a military sense because of the superior manpower and equipment you need, which Ukraine doesn't have.
James, always great to get your analysis. Thank you for being with us. James Waterhouse there, BBC Ukraine correspondent. Coming up next, Australia is banning social media for children under the age of 16. Could that work here?
51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.